Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Mr. Wasserman. And Mr. Wasserman's written a fascinating book. It's called The Secrets of Masonic Washington, a guidebook to the signs and symbols and ceremonies of the origin of the American capital. And Mr. Wasserman actually belongs to a secret society. It's called the OTO. Mr. Wasserman, thank you very much for being with us again.
Hi, Dr. Stan. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
And, of course, we had a good time last time we were together. We talked to him on our afternoon program, and I wanted our evening audience to actually hear him as he talks about, really, the ideas of Washington, D.C. Of course, many people believe, of course, that this is all Christian, but there is certainly strong Masonic influence in Washington, D.C., which the average individual is never told. The average person certainly has one preconceived notion, and yet we have to understand that there were strong Masonic and strong occult influences, not in Washington, D.C., but down throughout all history. The average individual doesn't understand how this ties into the teachings of the ancient Greek philosophers and into the Gnostic religion. Well, anyway, I'm going to let Mr. Wasserman talk, because our listeners have heard me talk many times. Certainly, how long have you been studying into the esoteric issues?
Well, now, if I tell you that, you're going to realize I'm older than this young-sounding voice of mine, but it's about 40 years that I've been involved in the study of esotericism.
And, of course, I'm sure during this period of time you've learned a great deal. What can you tell us about the OTO? I know it's a secret society. I'm not asking you to actually reveal any secrets, but what can you tell us about the OTO?
Well, it's a society. It's actually a later Masonic society that is kind of post-Masonic. In other words, it was founded by Masons, but it admitted women, so that it can't be Masonic. And for a long time, they claimed to be Masonic, and most of the members were. Today, I think the majority of members are not. And we follow the teachings of the English philosopher Aleister Crowley. I'm not sure if you're aware of who he is.
Oh, yes, certainly. Aleister Crowley was well known, and certainly many, many years ago, for his association with many unusual sorts of activities. But Aleister Crowley, well, do they hold meetings? Do they have conventions? How do they disseminate information?
Well, we have a very active publishing program. We do hold meetings. We have lodges, camps, and oases spread throughout the world. I think we're in about 40 or 50 different countries. And we have a central ritual, which is called the Gnostic Mass, which is a celebratory ritual. It sounds and looks very Christian, in fact, and it's a very, very beautiful celebration of the forces of nature and the interaction of the world of the earth and the divine level. And we also, actually in America, we've been having a convention every 2 years, a national convention.
Well, does it have any political effect, or is it actually have any influence on things that are going on in the world today, would you say? But hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment. Our guest this evening is Mr. James Wasserman, who is with the OTO, and of course his book is The Secrets of Masonic Washington. Go right ahead, James. Does it have any influence? What sort of influence would it have on the individual, or does it influence the affairs of things that are going on in the world?
Well, those are basically two different questions. By the first place, we're a 501c3 corporation, nonprofit, so that we cannot engage in political activities as such. We don't support candidates. But one of our members, in fact, is a politician in the West. We have a very active teaching on individual liberty. I believe that our political program is absolutely in agreement with the Bill of Rights, for example. It's one of the reasons that I've taken such a strong stance and such a strong American patriotism, because to me it's become, something of a religious belief, and it agrees with the political program of the OTO that speaks of human freedom and speaks of individual rights, of the ability to act and think and speak and function in the world without interference from government tyranny or any kind of mind control placed on the individual. We believe in free thought, and we believe in people becoming the best that they can possibly become, with the recognition of the intrinsic spiritual nature of humanity.
All right, fine. Well, do they have a website? Is there information available on the Internet about the OTO today?
There is, and there's a lot of misinformation as well.
On the website, or just other information about the OTO?
No. I'm saying there's a lot of counter-information, a lot of disinformation.
Right.
But the OTO website, I believe, is oto-usa.org.
All right, but you actually have chapters in some 40 nations throughout the world?
Yes. There's a... I don't have at my fingertips the OTO website worldwide, unfortunately. OTO.org, to get you pretty close.
All right, fine. Will you hang on there? We'll be back in just a moment as we bring our stations. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Mr. Wasserman was just talking about the fact that the OTO does have a website. He says there's a lot of misinformation up there, that they hold regular conventions, that they really believe in individual freedom. In fact, he considers himself a backer of the Bill of Rights, and, of course, I think we all believe in the Bill of Rights. He believes, of course, that people should have a right to do what they want to without government interference, and who could really, of course, differ with that basic view?
Well, I think right now, sir, to be perfectly honest, if you look at what's going on in Washington, D.C., there are a whole lot of people that could disagree with that.
Well, you and I would disagree with them. Well, anyway, of course, your book on the secrets of Masonic Washington, would you like to get into that? Because I think it's so very important for people to understand that there is an esoteric element in so much of what goes on in Washington, D.C. that no one talks about, but, of course, you've been studying this for many years, you've written about it, and I think it's important for the average American to understand the esoteric influence not only on the creation of our country, but, of course, on the architecture of our nation's capital.
Absolutely. Dr. Stan, let me just give you the website correctly. I'm looking at a book here. I'm sorry I didn't have it earlier. It's www.oto-usa.org.
All right, fine. Now, that's the OTO website. Of course, this is was originally based upon the teachings of Aleister Crowley. So let's talk then about the secrets of Masonic Washington. Of course, you've got you have sort of a guidebook of all the occult statues that are there. But you pick up this story. How did you get interested in studying the occult architecture of our nation's capital?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. First place, my publisher suggested the book, and I'm doing a book, another book on the Temple of Solomon, and I've been studying masonry and sacred architecture on that project, and I interrupted it to do Washington, D.C., and I'm just so very happy that I did, because I learned so much about the concept of sacred architecture and masonry, that I'll be able to do a better job on the new book that I'm working on. But I was astounded to find that all of the ideals that I have been studying these decades on liberty and the founders and the vast vision and extraordinary ideology that they propounded to humankind is also actually memorialized in the sculpture and the monuments of the city. It's really remarkable. I mean, it's been going on now for 200 years of development of Washington, D.C. It really got off the ground in the late 1790s and has been going on ever since.
But, of course, even in some of the more modern buildings, like the Dirksen Building, you'll find a great deal about astrology. You'll find the signs of the zodiac painted on the ceilings on literally every floor. You'll find so much about astrology there.
It's remarkable, the Dirksen Building. I went there. They wouldn't let me photograph in there, but I have a number of zodiacs from the National Academy of Sciences. The Federal Reserve has an extraordinary zodiac, which I show in my book.
And so basically, of course, then would that suggest that there's a relationship between the Federal Reserve or the monetary system and these esoteric ideas, would you say?
Well, I sure wish they would do a better job of living up to the esoteric ideas there, because, you know, in my concept, that would leave them with their hands off of the economy, as opposed to, digging so deeply into the economy.
Well, I think that one of the interesting things, of course, is the history of how all of this came about. And, of course, the religions, the mystery religions of antiquity, and, of course, as they were passed down through the Kabbalah and Gnostics, and then, of course, through a view of the Greek philosophers. And Pythagoras, would you want to just briefly comment on Pythagoras? Because he is pivotal to so much of what's going on today. Most people, you mention Pythagoras, and they sort of get that glassy look in their eyes. They have no idea who he was. But why is Pythagoras pivotal to so much of what's going on in America today? Who was he? Why was he important?
Well, he lived around 600 B.C., and he was actually the link between the Egyptian mysteries. He brought them to Greece and to, you know, what we consider essentially the Western world. He was the father of mathematics, music. He spent a great deal of attention to meditation and living one's life in a kind of simplicity, as well as studying both science and mathematics to appreciate, the divine creation. He was also very involved with politics. He had a group of people, and they actually formed governments of an intelligentsia around various cities in Greece. Well, these ideas that came from the Pythagoreans are the ones that influenced modern esotericism to a great degree, and of course much of our freedom stems ideologically from Greek and Roman ideals.
And of course these ideas were passed down through Socrates to Plato, and from Plato to Aristotle, and from Aristotle to Alexander the Great, and this continuity of ideas. And of course here's Alexander setting out to conquer the whole world, and he did a pretty good job of it, at least at that time.
And he established, local governments where people had a great deal of autonomy. There was a respect for the indigenous religions, and they really had quite a good life under his conquering. So he was a very civilizing force.
And of course, really, one of the great military minds, or perhaps he had tapped into the hidden knowledge, which of course gave him the opportunity with a small Macedonian army of, some people say, about 35,000 to take on the mightiest armies in the world. The mighty army of Darius of Persia, and he won. And of course, by all odds, he never could have won, but he was tapping into, I think, a certain esoteric knowledge. And of course, this was the thing that allowed him to accomplish what he did.
And he was the direct pupil of Aristotle.
Yeah, absolutely. And Aristotle was a student of Plato, who was a student of Socrates, who was two generations removed, was a student of Pythagoras. That's why Pythagoras is so vitally important to understanding so much of what's going on today. And, of course, so much of what he knew had actually come from the mystery religions of the Near East. And that's, of course, was the ideas of geometry came from. A squared plus B squared equals C squared. And I've always said, I do not think he just sat down, scratched his head, and he said, I think A squared plus B squared equals C squared, or the square root of the two sides of a right-angled triangle are equal to the square root of the hypotenuse. Where would you possibly come up with something like that? Why, I think you're tapping into almost supernatural knowledge.
Mm-hmm. You know, they were the early Greeks were very fascinated with Egypt. Their philosophers would go and actually spend the night sleeping in areas around Egyptian temples, looking for any kind of insights that they could get. And of course, you know, the greater adepts actually went and studied and were initiated within the Egyptian tradition, and that whole area was a hotbed of travel and communication between various groups, you know, including the Gnostics and others, Hermeticists. It was a very vibrant period of communication between cultures.
And of course, the similarity between the architecture of, say, of Washington, D.C., the great pillars that we see there, so many of them are reminiscent of the Acropolis there in Athens.
Absolutely. And that was such a strong influence on Jefferson, who had played such a large part in the design of Washington, D.C.
And of course, Jefferson, what part did Jefferson play? Certainly there's a great deal to suggest that George Washington played a part in the design of Washington, D.C. Who really designed Washington, D.C. And of course laid out his plan?
Well, I think it was Washington who decided on surveying it into a perfect square. That the Constitution calls for a 10-mile area, and Washington made it into a perfect square. So he made, you know, that enormous contribution, and that has a strong symbolic meaning in terms of, you know, the leveling and the integrity of the design itself and of America's commitment to, you know, giving a square or a fair deal, you know, in its trade and in other interactions.
Well, now, what about the alignment of some of the buildings there and the relationship to astrology?
Right. Well, that, of course, you know, that there's a wonderful book on that by a fellow named David Ovison, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. And he goes at great length into the alignment of buildings and the astronomical rising of various stars and planets against the orientation of the buildings. What I understand, of course, is that, you know, the Capitol is facing the rising sun. And you know, that is the, you know, the opening up of the whole thing. The melon fountain that I show in my book with the astrological signs, according to Ovison at least, At the spring equinox, the light that shines on that is coming, falling directly on Aries.
And, of course, what was the relationship then between Mellon and the esoteric ideas? Of course, they were one of the most wealthy banking families in America.
Right, and he was a Freemason.
He was a Freemason. So basically, of course, we really study the great fortunes here in America. And you get into Ford and Carnegie and J.P. Morgan. They all, in one way or another, were, of course, tied into the occult. We'll be back in just a moment with our special guest. Well, James, certainly, let's go ahead. And I had no idea. I did not know that Mellon, of course, one of the great fortunes was into Freemasonry. But a lot of the...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets. A little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com.
as we have today. Well, of course, I'm coming from a different spiritual point of view. I believe, of course, if they were adopting my religious philosophy, we wouldn't be in the problem. But we can certainly, we will not solve the problems. However, we can agree that there is a tremendous Greek influence in Washington, D.C. And, of course, this Greek influence goes back to the Greek philosophers, the Greek architecture, the principles of geometry that came out of the mystery religions of the Near East. In fact, so much really of the thought came really from the mystery religions adopted in Greece and then transformed into America and, of course, the creation of our nation's capital. And as Mr. Wasserman points out, if you understand Greek architecture and then you look at Washington, D.C., you'll see it replicated all over Washington, D.C., and then you'll find the Greek gods. Why would we have Greek gods in our nation's capital? But you'll find statues to them engraved and standing in so many of the major buildings in the United States. You'll see the signs of the zodiac and things in reference to astrology. Every place there, you'll find, for instance, the statue of Francis Bacon there in the Library of Congress. In fact, the Library of Congress is certainly filled with all sorts of things referring to the esoteric. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. It's one of the most magnificent structures in the city of Washington, certainly, if not the most magnificent. And, you know, I love books, so I can just tell you that I've never seen anything like it. And, you know, even as you walk right in front of it, there's this extraordinary statue group of the god Neptune, you know, and this whole idea of, you know, the unconscious mind and the opening up of the soul through wisdom and through knowledge that is, you know, contained within the shelves and of the library itself. There's a sense, I think the reason that the Greek was so influential is that it shows a kind of classical dignity to the human experience. Greeks were people who educated their people. They placed a gigantic role on discourse, the world of the mind, and they also had a strong understanding of the interaction between nature and life on earth. And they had, you know, a whole archetypal unconscious and a clear spiritual understanding of the forces that went into life as we understand it on earth. So they sought after a higher wisdom. And that was embodied in their architecture. They had a very simplistic architecture. It was very elegant and beautiful and impressive, but actually it's very simple in its design. It doesn't have that ornate kind of, you know, highly decorative style that later in other cultures did. Do you know what I'm saying here?
Right.
It's got a kind of simplicity that speaks to it, almost a utilitarian approach to life. It doesn't need all the frills and fantasy. It makes its own kind of strength and clarity.
Of course, have you ever seen the Acropolis? For I'm speaking now to our listeners, and then you see these buildings in Washington, D.C., you noticed a very definite relationship to them, and I think this was designed with that thought in mind. But then, of course, there are all sorts of esoteric signs and symbols there that go into the background and reflect the attitude of some of the people who were involved in the designing of the nation's capital. And, of course, they certainly did not want people to really understand what they represented. The average individual had never asked, well, what is God Neptune doing there as a big statue and a big fountain there in the middle of our nation's capital? And so many times those people involved in the esoteric or the occult, don't they hide their emblems out in plain sight where people see them and just don't recognize them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I say in the book that Washington is a classic case of that. You know, you don't really need to look at all of these geometrical fantasies and constructs that people have built, because it's all so clear. It's just right in front of your eyes.
But, of course, if you don't know what you're looking at, you're going to just pass it by. Once you
that's the beauty of it. That's what it means, hidden in plain sight. You know, it doesn't mean that it's exposed. It's not some commercialized thing. What you have there is this kind of unstated elegance constantly surrounding you wherever you go. And there's a great deal of biblical references throughout the city as well.
Hold that. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess is Mr. James Wasserman, and certainly we're talking about the architecture of our nation's capital. And so you see, in Washington, D.C., you see a lot of biblical references, and then you see the occult references, you see both of them. Would that be a fair appraisal of what the architecture of our nation's capital?
It certainly seems that way to me. Absolutely, and I don't think that they're in contradiction with each other either. I think that they, work hand in hand, that the, occult and classical Greek and Roman symbolism, some Egyptian symbolism, fits right in with the biblical symbolism and emphasis that runs throughout the city as well. It's a very spiritualized form of art that is there, and certainly the people there are perhaps the least spiritualized people on the planet, but they are surrounded by all of the iconography which they need to be competent leaders if they would listen.
All right, fine. Well, Chris, you point out certainly that there are all sorts of emblems there. You were talking about the Second Division Memorial in the Ellipse of Honor, the soldiers of World War I. What was that all about, that there's a hand that's holding the flaming sword?
Well, obviously it's a martial symbol, and it's an absolutely beautiful symbol. It's a kind of golden hand holding a golden flaming sword. It was designed by John Russell Pope, who is the same architect who did the Jefferson Memorial, and he was a Freemason. Now, it's an exact replica of the Ace of Swords card of the Tarot. If you look at that card in many different decks, it will show a hand grasping an upraised sword, and, quite beautifully, depicts it, and it honors, those soldiers who gave their lives in World War I for the survival of this nation.
And, of course, certainly the statues that are there really are magnificent statues, but, of course, so many of them have esoteric meaning, strong meaning to people who have studied these things from the esoteric point of view. The average Christian would look at them and being just sort of wondering, what is this really all about? But, of course, nobody calls their attention to it. They don't even see it because it's hidden in plain sight. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Mr. James Wasserman, who is a follower of the philosophy of Aleister Crowley and the OTO. James, would you like to get your website out and tell our listeners how they could get your book if they'd like to get a copy of it? The title, The Secrets of Masonic Washington, D.C.
Well, thank you so much, sir. My website is Studio 31, that's the number 31.com. And all of my books are listed on the website, studio31.com. And there's a little about, information about me and also about my business. I'm a book designer and producer as well for other people as well as myself. And there's some essays on politics. There's an interesting one that I've written there called Political Liberty as a Spiritual Value, which is one of the things that I firmly believe, that without human freedom to think and read and to travel and move about freely and to hold meetings and discourse and worship services and everything else, we cannot have the conditions to develop the spiritual insights that we, you know, we're here to develop.
Well, now what about the Illuminati? Where does the Illuminati fit into the whole esoteric philosophy?
Well, you know, I have been confused by the Illuminati for a good long time. Now, I used to feel that they were a very positive force, that they liberated Europe from the tyranny of both king and pope, and they actually did on one level. But on the other hand, they were a very reckless bunch of people, and I don't think that they were very honest with the people that they were trying to influence. They really existed from 1776 to about 1786. I don't believe that they lasted much longer than that. They were suppressed by the Bavarian government. I did a book called Secret Societies, Illuminati, Freemasons, and the French Revolution, and I go into a lot of detail about the Illuminati in that book. They used Masonic lodges to organize. They found groups of people who were already in existence and already bonded, and they influenced them in revolutionary ideals, some of which, as they say, were good. They talked about freedom, but you know what? They were really socialists. They actually were not. They were almost the exact opposite of the individualist who founded the American Revolution. And, you know, George Washington spoke very angrily about, you know, what he considered to be the approach of the Illuminati into American politics. Jefferson kind of dismissed them and said that he didn't think they were so bad. But Jefferson, you know, was a lot more tolerant and a little bit less suspicious, I think, of the structural breakdown of society that the Illuminati were actually trying to create.
Well, do you think that the Illuminati played an important part, or at least the branches of the Illuminati, the Jacobins, played an important part in the French Revolution?
I absolutely do believe that. They had been suppressed right before that, but their teachings and the personnel who had been Illuminized, so the French revolutionaries who had gone to Germany and German revolutionaries who had come into France, were in close contact with one another throughout the whole period leading up to the revolution. And I think that the kind of bloodbath of the Jacobin horrors that were going on there were very much part of this Illuminati problem. I don't have the high opinion of the Illuminati that I did at one point in my life when I knew less about them.
Well, I think, as with many secret societies, they say one thing, but they have at least the leaders have an entirely different agenda. I think that the average person, or many people, were attracted to the Illuminati because they were talking about, you know, the injustice of some of the monarchs, the injustice of the Catholic Church, and how sometimes they were using the church and the government would work together, and the people were oppressed, and of course there was a ruling elite, and the church validated the state, and the state validated the church, and people said this isn't fair. People can't be free; they can't express themselves, and so. But then, as you point out, of course, the whole idea was that once the Weishaupt and his friends got power, why, of course, you would have another authoritarian rule. You'd do away with one, and then you'd find yourself under another. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Which, if I could be so bold to suggest, I think we've seen that in the last last week and a half.
Well, I think we have too, but because what was really so interesting was that certainly in France, why, of course, they followed the ideas of the Illuminati, they overthrew the existing church, they overthrew the existing government, and what did they end up with? Well, they ended up with Napoleon.
Absolutely. And they also ended up with, you know, a virtual bloodbath prior to Napoleon. Napoleon saved them from the bloodbath. The mobs went crazy. The king was murdered. Some of the horrors that went on against, you know, the clergy and the nobility and the royalty is just, it's actually unspeakable. It was so bad.
And I think that that's really so very true. Sometimes you hear these people talking about, you know, we're going to just bring freedom. They have a lot of wonderful phrases, audacity of hope, change. But, of course, the change is not necessarily for the better. Well, let's talk a little bit about Benjamin Franklin, because certainly, although Benjamin Franklin certainly was one of the most colorful people in the time of the Revolutionary War and certainly at the time of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, and he spoke eloquently. He really was. He was a brilliant mind. He was also deeply involved with the occult, wasn't he, in esoteric matters?
Absolutely. He was a Freemason of great standing. He was also a scientist. He was deeply involved with any thinking people. You know, he explored everything that was able to be discovered, and I think that in his science he was almost a cult. You know, he was trying to tame the force of electricity, of the lightning. You know, you'd have to be almost half crazy to do that. But what a brilliant and wonderfully colorful man he was. He was also, as I mentioned in my book, something I had not been aware of. He was an ardent abolitionist, and that was a kind of interesting thing to learn about him. He had constructed a whole plan of not only freeing the slaves, but then educating them and teaching them trades so that they would not become dependent on the society.
Well, of course, there were many people who believed in freedom at that time. Freedom was the thing that I think everybody at that time cherished. I think that so many people cherish it today, but they began to mix up freedom with the idea that I'm free, I've got to get everything provided for me, I'm really going to be free, they're going to give me my health, my education, my welfare. Boy, I'm really going to be free, I won't have to work or do anything, and they don't understand that when the government can provide everything you want, the government must be able to control you from the cradle to the grave.
Absolutely. Those who give to you are also in a position to take away.
In fact, one of your quotations you use is certainly one of my favorite quotations from Jefferson's about taking the chains off of the people and putting them onto government.
Absolutely.
And, of course, this is something that, you know, that this idea of limiting the power of government as the source of freedom. Let no more be heard of confidence in men, but rather bind them down from mischief by the chains of the Constitution. And, of course, that was something you wrote. You're quoting the words of Thomas Jefferson. I actually have one of my favorite books is the Master Thoughts of Thomas Jefferson. He expresses that so well. And people have forgotten these ideas of freedom that were so much a part of the foundation of America at that time. And of course, there were various ideas all at work here. The Christians wanted to be free, but there were people like Jefferson who was basically had absorbed some of these ideas of the mystery religions. And in fact, we even have some book written back in 1830 or 1840 where referring, of course, to Jefferson and his association with the mystery religions. But the average individual has no idea of these things because they're never taught in our schools.
Right. Well, the schools are teaching almost the exact opposite. You know, they're teaching, I believe that there really is a program going on in our public schools to teach a form of dependence among the children so that, you know, they don't think for themselves. We've abandoned the quest for individual thought and individual liberty. Daughter who's just in her first year of high school, and you know, thank goodness at home she's constantly challenged to think about, you know, things like right and wrong and politics and the limits of freedom and that kind of stuff, but she gets none of that in school. They don't there's an indoctrination that's going on in our schools, which is really a kind of enforced ignorance. And unless we change that and create a kind of vibrant voter who believes in the ideals on which we're founded, and those, I believe, as you have said so eloquently tonight, are based on these kind of mystery traditions and the whole concept of, you know, Christianity came in and overturned a whole negative sense that was going on in Judaism. You know, somehow if you read the later prophets, you know, after David and Solomon, there was a lot of anger and depression going on. And Christ came along and kind of gave this liberating, opening feeling to the religious awareness of mankind. And you know, now we're kind of moving back into some dead zone, I consider it, where people don't think they're discouraged from any level of investigation, and they're taught to be a group of essentially dependent morons.
Well, that's a rather a depressing outlook, but I hate to say it, Chris. I like to think that the people who listen to our radio programs are thinking people, and they're learning as it took me.
Well, God willing, sir, because that's the whole purpose of talking to you tonight, and I'm sure it's the whole purpose of your doing your outreach through this radio program, because we need to get thinking people together, and we all need to stand up and just say no to some of this stuff, you know?
Well, I think it's important that people understand the background, the philosophies that led to America, and there were certainly the esoteric ideas and the Christian ideas, and there are the two forces here which most people really don't understand. Some people will say it's all one, some people will say it's all the other. I know my friends, some of my friends say it was all the Masonic influence at all that dominated our country, and I don't believe that at all.
Neither
and
do I.
Other people then say it was all Christian, there was no Masonic influence. Nope. I say you're absolutely wrong, you know.
Totally.
I mean, it was both, and until we understand that both influences were here, and both influences helped to shape our country, unfortunately, of course, I think that we're headed very much in the wrong direction, away from the ideas that once made America great. And whether I agree with it necessarily Thomas Jefferson's religious beliefs, his writings about individual freedom are immortal, and they will never change, because they were really based upon the knowledge not only of the philosophers of that time, certainly of John Locke and of Blackstone and the Frenchman who wrote about republics, Montesquieu. But they were also going back to the philosophy of the Greek philosophers and their ideas of individual liberty.
Absolutely, and you know, even right now, when you said earlier that you know my vision of this thing was negative, I'm not. It's not. I have a great deal of hope, and I feel that if we can, you know, I feel that the ideals that are being, let's say, put under wraps in our society at the moment, I think that these are eternal ideas, and I believe that they will resurface again. And sometimes they say that it's always darkest before the dawn, and sometimes you need to move away from the light in order to realize just how important the light is once again. And I have a great deal of hope for humanity, and frankly for America, because I think that America is the greatest political experiment in the history of mankind, frankly. I really, really do. I think that our founders got something right. And what they got right was the idea that you don't want a pure democracy, as had, you know, been in place in Athens and Greece, because it's just the rabble becomes it's a clamoring of voices. It's an impossible system to operate. But by designing a republic in which we elect representatives who come together and discuss who by design should be better educated and more studied people and have gained the trust of their fellow citizens, this is something that can work if it can lose the taint of corruption that seems to accompany it in almost all periods of time.
And I think that's so true. I think that one reason that democracy doesn't work is because man is basically corrupt, and the people will always tend to vote for the man who promises to give them the most. And that was the beauty of our form of government, because there are limits put on what the government could do. It could not spend money it didn't have.
Right.
And of course now, of course, we have, through the miracle of the Federal Reserve System and the printing press, well, we can make all the money we want. All we have to do is just print it. It took America 200 years to amass a national debt of $1 trillion from 1789 to 1980. And simply this coming year, the year 2009, why, of course, there are many people who think that the debt within that one-year period will be about $2 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
People do not understand that this is a recipe for disaster. And if you wanted to destroy our nation, you could not do a better job than they're doing in Congress today, simply appropriating money and, of course, printing the money, because there's no better way to destroy a nation than to debase its currency, to botch its currency. And I think that's just the direction we're headed. I don't know if you share my concern, but...
I certainly do.
All right, fine. Well, our guest has been Mr. Wasserman. And once again, how can people get your book?
Well, you can get it at your local bookstore. You can get it on Amazon.com. And I'm offering signed copies at Studio31.com. And people are welcome to communicate with me. And I thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to your audience.
Well, we've got about 3 minutes more, we're going to have to go to break here, and then we'll wrap up the program here with Mr. James Wasserman, The Secrets of Masonic Washington. All right, fine. Well, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. What message would you like to leave with people out across America?
The message that fills my...
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt, that nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-
Tell us. And of course, this is Aleister Crowley's organization. Now, I would disagree with Aleister Crowley. All of these people were searching for a meaning of life. And of course, if you're not coming from a Christian point of view, why, of course, you can get into anything at all. And certainly, these people are looking for freedom, but unfortunately, of the freedom that they are searching will eventually lead to bondage. And as Mr. Wasserman said, the ideas of the Illuminati were wonderful. The only trouble was that the people in charge of it didn't believe in those ideas. They believed in authoritarian society and to the rule of a ruling elite. And those same philosophies are certainly in the hearts of the people who control America today. We have a visible government. We have an invisible government. You'll want to get our latest newsletter. You'll certainly want to read about it. You'll want to find out, of course, that we've been told we're certainly going to turn our back on the things that have happened in the past, and we're going to have change. Well, the change we're going to have is now we have 10 members of the Trilateral Commission, which has controlled every administration since 1976. 10 members of the Trilateral Commission in key positions in the Obama administration. Almost everybody there belongs to one or another part of the organization I refer to as the Brotherhood of Darkness. And the change we're going to have is a change for the worse, because they are setting out to destroy our economy. They're not doing anything of the things that they could do to preserve our economy. Of course, what we should do is, of course, stop subsidizing the transfer of our industrial base to other nations. We're going to subsidize General Motors as it's opening its automotive plants in Russia. It's opening its 8th automotive plant in communist China. It's opening its 3 new automotive plants in Brazil. You see, the elite are intentionally and purposely transferring the manufacturing base of America overseas so they can impoverish the American people and ultimately enslave them. But they cannot tell the American people that. You have to think that these people want to preserve our economic system. And yet, of course, they've absolutely refused to try to stop this cascade of home loans. Oh, my goodness, they're going out. They're going to spend $40 or $50 billion buying up home loans. But it's not doing any good because they're not buying up the right home loans. But they have to give the impression that they're trying to do what is right. What people do not understand is behind the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Group of 30, and the other esoteric organizations in this country are powerful spiritual forces. Until people understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the hearts of men and the survival of Christian civilization, nothing makes sense. We do carry, actually, Mr. Ovison's book, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital, an important book written by a man who is, of course, deeply involved with the occult. Chris Pinto says he's a Mason. And, of course, what he has there is magnificent. And you can see the esoteric influence, the occult influence. Why? Because at the time our nation was created, there was an occult influence, there was a Christian influence, but they had to conceal the occult influence because of the strong Christian beliefs of our people. Now, of course, they're right out in the open, and the average individual doesn't even open them. They put their occult emblem on the back of the dollar bill, and you'll certainly want to see the wonderful new DVD that we have. It's entitled, The Eye of the Phoenix, and we should have it here in another week. We watched it this weekend, our first copy, a magnificent production by Chris Pinto. But you'll certainly want to see his DVDs, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. It's called Riddles in Stone, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. His DVD, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. So you'll want to go ahead and see the DVD that Chris made for us when he was a speaker of the Aquarian Connection. Pardon me, the Atlantis Connection. That's the Atlantis Connection. The Constance Cumbie's DVD on the Emergence. There are powerful spiritual forces at work behind the scenes. Until people understand that, we're involved with this spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Lynn Marzulli. And Lynn is a minister who has been studying the UFO phenomenon, the spiritual phenomenon, for many years, and he, of course, has had a number of church posts, but at the present time, he's written four books. Go into the Nephilim trilogy, three books on that. And then his book on politics, prophecy, and the supernatural is a book that certainly we've recommended in the past. And now he's written a new e-book, and it's available up on the Internet. It's called The Aliens. That's The Aliens, and that's an unusual book. So I'm going to let Lynn tell you a little bit about this. This is a series of interviews that he's done with people who have actually experienced the alien abductions. You pick up the story there.
Well, Dr. Stan, first of all, happy New Year to you, sir.
It's good to have you with us again.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. It's a pleasure to be here. The alien interviews is really the offspring of my preceding book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, and this. The reason why I wrote it was a lot of different radio shows I was on, a lot of skepticism out there, a lot of unbelief in supernatural things, which, of course, I know you believe like I do that these are not extraterrestrials. They are, in fact, interdimensional beings. A more apt name, perhaps, at least on this radio show this early in the interview, they just call them what they are, a manifestation of fallen angels. But that being as it may, I was on several shows, and no matter how much evidence I would put forth, could never really convince the several hosts, actually one particular host I have in mind, and this guy just refused to believe anything I brought to him. So what I did is I went back and contacted about 20, 25 different people, and out of those interviews that I conducted with them, I picked 17 of what I thought were the most riveting interviews. We have Dr. Jacobs that comes on with us. We have Dr. Roger Lear, Dr. Jesse Marcel, retired Major George Fowler, Dr. Lynn Katai, and Dr. Wanger. So there's, did that very deliberately to choose professional PhDs, as it were, in different fields. It's a mixed bag in the sense that it's not a particular Christian worldview thread that goes through the book. It varies. Yes, there are Christians that come on and weigh in and tell their experience, but there's also secular Jews, there are people with, I would even call them atheists or agnostics. I mean, it's really a mixed bag. The whole point of this is to show that there is a phenomena that is happening, that it's real. The phenomena is burgeoning. It's not going away. And so this book really addresses this phenomena very much up front. Each person that comes on the record has actually had an experience on some level, whether it's Dr. Roger Lear, who's gone into about 12 people and actually removed so-called alien implants, and he's had the metals tested. They are an alloy from no one knows where. These are anomalous pieces of metal or metal-like objects placed in different parts of people's bodies, and oftentimes the nerve endings and the blood vessels actually have wrapped themselves around the particular object. There was one object that he goes on the record and talks about where he, as he would move his index finger towards it, this is before he went in and operated, he actually could see the object move away from him about an inch or two underneath the skin. And he would move his finger away and the object would settle back into its position. So some pretty bizarre stuff. But then you've got, you know, Dr. Jacobs that comes on the record. He's been investigating so-called alien abductions for decades now. And it's very chilling. I asked him a very poignant question.
Hold that thought. Okay, we'll be right back. Well, I guess this is Lynn Marzulli. We're talking about alien abductions, so our alien interviews going into the background of his interviews with people who have either studied alien abductions or been the victims of alien abductions. And why is this subject important? It's important because, of course, it's a manifestation of the supernatural. Certainly, we live in a materialistic society. We're trained as materialists. We believe what we can see. But is there another dimension? Is there a supernatural? And, of course, if you're a Christian, you almost have to believe that because, after all, the very story of Christianity is the story of the supernatural activities of our Lord and Savior. So pick the story up there, Lynn.
I like you. Thanks so much, Dr. Stan. I mean, I like you, I certainly believe that what we're looking at are supernatural occurrences. And that's really at the very – I'm jumping ahead here, but at the end of the book, that's what I tie it into. I don't really – editorialize or comment on any of the people that I interview. There's an intro, there's an outro, and then at the very end I do about 30 pages of what does it all mean. But I still leave it up to the reader to come to their own conclusions and decide. But I, like you, believe that what we're looking at are supernatural manifestations of fallen angels, which are spoken about in biblical prophecy, and I believe we are in that time of the end where we're starting to see, as in the days of Noah, so it will be when the Son of Man returns. But getting back on point with Dr. Jacobs, the question I asked Dr. Jacobs is, what was it like when you first realized that this was a real phenomenon? In other words, you crossed that line from, well, these people are schizophrenic, they're having a break with reality, they're psychotic, they're drug addicts, whatever. And he told me, you know, it happened after several years as he was conducting research and doing these interviews with people, and some of them had hypnotic regression, others had cloudy memories, which he then would bring to the surface just by making them relax. But he said he got to the point where he realized that it wasn't, this thing wasn't being made up. In other words, as he was talking to different people who had allegedly been abducted, he realized that there could no way there could be collusion between the witnesses. I mean, and they came from all different walks of life, all strata of socioeconomic levels were represented, and he realized this, and he says himself he went around in sort of a haze for about 6 months, just saying kind of, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, in disbelief, because he couldn't, and this goes back to, if I can skip a little bit, but it ties in with one of the witnesses from the Stevensville UFO flap last year that I interviewed, Ricky Searle, and we've talked about him before, Dr. Stan, but Mr. Searle uses the word overwhelming. And that's pretty much the way Dr. Jacobs felt.
We're going to be back in just a moment with Lynn Marzulli. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. I guess this is Lynn Marzulli. We're going to be talking with him this evening about his book of the aliens, the alien interviews. And, of course, it's significant that people understand that there are many people. There are really about at least 5,000 we know of recorded histories of alien abductions. And you said that your book here that some people think up to maybe 1% of the population has actually been abducted or have seen aliens. Or what was that figure?
Well, the figure is between 1% and 3%. Which is, of course, millions of people. Dr. Jacobs believes, as I do, that the breeding program is very vigorous. They have an end game. The agenda is very dark and sinister. Now, Jacobs is aware of, you know, some sort of Christian apocalyptic viewpoint or end time scenario. He's aware, but he doesn't really understand it, and he hasn't really studied it. But he knows enough about it to know kind of what it is. And he immediately shuns that, shuns away from it, or moves away from that position, and just says that whatever's going on with these so-called beings, there is an end game. And he feels the end game is a nefarious one. He doesn't think that they have our best interest at heart. And without, you know, putting words in his mouth or arguing with him when he's not here, I would certainly concur with him. I believe that this end game that the so-called extraterrestrials / fallen angels are actually engaged in mimics the Genesis 6 account and the Enochian account coming from the Book of Enoch, where we see that these fallen angels had sexual relations with the women on the earth, and of course the Nephilim, the ungodly offspring, the abomination of that union, was then the resulted in the flood of the earth. God's judgment came down. And, you know, Jesus himself says something which I think is very enigmatic, very cryptic in a way. He says that the Son of Man will return. It'll be like the days of Noah when the Son of Man returns, which, of course, immediately begs the question, what the heck differentiates the days of Noah than any other time in history? And in my opinion, that is the presence of the fallen angels, the B'nai Elohim in Hebrew, coming back to earth. And that's precisely what we see in the abduction phenomena, albeit it's different than what it was in the biblical account. It's thousands of years past, but I believe it's very, very similar. And in fact, it could be the same. In fact, I had an email from someone today and pointed me to a researcher who does not have a Christian worldview or operating from a Christian paradigm. And he's now come to the conclusion just fairly recently. He shifted his whole perspective from a extraterrestrial theory or hypothesis to an interdimensional hypothesis. And now he's saying these entities appear to be more paranormal than extraterrestrial, which I find just incredible, because this is, Dr. Jacques Vallée put this forth, of course, you know, decades ago in his classic book, Messengers of Deception, which basically puts forth the theory that, in fact, we're not looking at extraterrestrial beings, we're looking at interdimensional beings. And that's really where I weigh in on at the very end of the book. That's where I kind of tie things up and lead the reader to make his own conclusions, but certainly uncover different aspects of that and relate it back to instances where angels have appeared to people throughout history. Of course, you have biblical narratives of that. What were the after effects? One of my favorite stories is Peter. When Peter's in prison, and the angel manifests in his jail cell from nowhere. He's coming from another dimension, and he just appears suddenly in Peter's jail cell. All the bars are there, so he's coming through the wall in a very similar way that Jesus did after the resurrection. So Peter is stupefied. He's not. In fact, his account, when you read it, we realize that Peter isn't sure whether he's dreaming or he's awake. So he's befuddled, just like many people who have these encounters today. They're in sort of an altered state of consciousness. They're not sure what's really going on, because the power of these beings, whether they're fallen angels or good angels, is the same. In other words, angels have certain inherent abilities just like human beings do. And just because they're fallen doesn't mean that these qualities diminish in any way. Maybe they've diminished some, but why should they? For instance, you could equate, you know, the Salk vaccine to Adolf Hitler. Salk used his abilities as a human being to create something that was benefited all mankind. Hitler, on the other hand, was a monster. But both men had the same inherent abilities. Well, the same thing with angels. So this angel appears into Peter's jail cell. The first thing that happens is the chains fall off of Peter. Ankle chains, foot chains. The jail cell magically opens. Peter walks out. All the guards have suddenly fallen asleep. They get out to the courtyard. The main gate with all the locks and bars opens by itself. They walk through. Peter again is like, you know, he must have just been, what is going on here? And then the angel disappears and back into this other dimension. So this is the kind of stuff I equate it to. This, of course, is a supernatural experience to the nines, absolutely to the nines. But in some ways it mirrors some of the reports that we get back from the abduction phenomena, from the abductees, people who were allegedly abducted by the these so-called entities, and talk about floating through walls, floating through windows, levitating, being communicated with telepathically. The same sort of things that happen in the biblical narrative, which of course leads me to believe, and that's my whole hypothesis, that what we're looking at, in fact, are interdimensional beings, i.e. fallen angels.
Well, I think people have to understand that it's very difficult to believe in the supernatural if you're not coming from the Christian point of view. Now, of course, there are other people coming from a totally occult point of view, and of course, they realize, of course, there is power in the occult. But certainly no Christian should try to tap into that power because, of course, the implications are rather frightening when you stop and think about it. And, of course, you open yourself up to truly demonic possession. What's really so interesting is that Jacques Vallée was a UFO investigator many years ago, and he was not coming from a Christian point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But as he looked and analyzed and took, you know, had all the information, worked at this thing, there was no other conclusion that these had to be interdimensional beings. And of course, I have a book in my library written by the commander of the British Air Force, and it's called Above Top Secret. And he, you know, as he said, you know, if you know, either the United States or Great Britain had any sort of spacecraft like they're describing, you know, these saucers that can go 5,000 miles an hour and make a right turn, he said, I would know about them, you know, we just don't have them. And it was his belief that these were interdimensional as well. And to people understand that there really is a supernatural, there really are supernatural forces out there. The Christian story of Peter that suddenly Lynn has just told, the Christian story of our Lord walking on the water, commanding the waves to stop, the winds to stop, the raising people from the dead, himself dying and coming back. This is all supernatural. And so, if you're a Christian, you have to believe that there is another force out there, a supernatural force. But of course, we're told it's occupied not only by angels, but by fallen angels or demonic beings. And I don't like to get into a discussion. Is there a difference between a fallen angel and a demon? I think we could spend a lot of time arguing over that. They're all elements from the
right.
other dimension, from the dark dimension. And
right.
of course, we can carry this forward to what's going on in our society today. In fact, if you look at the emblem, the logo of the Trilateral Commission that today is in total control of our government and put Mr. Obama in the White House, their emblem is, well, you can look at it any way you want to, but you can look at it and there's no way you can miss the upside down broken cross, which is the very center of their emblem. I think it's surrounded by three sixes. You can argue whether it's there or not, but you can't argue against the upside down broken cross, which is the emblem of the ancient mystery religions. And of course, it's a manifestation and being manifested today as these people intentionally set out to destroy our economy, not only here in the United States, but throughout the whole world, to create a worldwide crisis. And as Henry Kissinger said in his January 12th International Herald Tribune article, and you should get it and pull it down and read it through five times. That's January 12th International Herald Tribune, Henry Kissinger. He talks about the total collapse of society and chaos that is coming. That is, if we don't go into the new world order, this one world international system that, of course, the Trilateral Commission is working for, and they have their agents planted in nations all throughout the world. How could you possibly do that? And because there's a supernatural force behind them. That is why. And behind everything today, there is the supernatural. And whether it be crop circles, whether it be, you know, cattle mutilations, whether it be so many of the manifestations of the supernatural, they're there. They've always been there. They've been there for centuries. And of course, Lynn talks about the tracks that I think, I'm not sure whether you find them in the Andes, way, way, way up in the sky, these flat top plateaus with all these intricate designs on them that could have never been made by man. They had to come from some other source. So the supernatural is there. We have to recognize it. And I believe the alien phenomenon and the, or I should say the UFO phenomenon and the alien abductions are simply manifestations of that. But if you're not coming from a Christian perspective and don't believe in the supernatural, why, you're going to just cough at the idea of alien abductions. And yet there are thousands of them and they all tell the same story. And that, of course, must have been fascinating for you to talk to these people, Lynn. Lynn?
I'm here, Dr. Stan.
It must have been fascinating for you to talk to these people.
Okay. Yes, absolutely, sir. It was what I loved about it the most was because people are observing the phenomena from different points of view, different paradigms, and yet agreeing that the phenomena is real, and that's really the message of the book.
And there's one of these that I think a professor, I think it was named John Jacobs, no, I'm not sure it was John Jacobs or what it was, but anyway, he was a fellow who, you know, because he'd studied this for 40 years, and he realized it was real, he had no hope at all for himself and his children. He
Dr. Jacobs, these, yes.
And he saw these things, and without a Christian point of view, he looked at the world without hope. Go ahead, Lynn.
Well, you know, what you mentioned about Dr. Jacobs, it's exactly true. When you read the...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt, that nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Organization, the people who run this and run the Bilderbergers and the Trilateral Commission, at least at the upper echelons, understand the significance of the Trilateral Commission's logo, and you can go up to their website. They have a website, trilateral.org. You can get their membership list, or they go to augustreview.com. Excellent site, augustreview.com. Pat Woods, I think he's a leading expert on the Trilateral Commission. You can find out that the people who control all of it, the financial instruments of the world, whether it be the World Bank, I mean, the six, seven last, presidents of the World Bank came from the Trilateral Commission, three of the last four, chairman of the Federal Reserve System, the people who are running our government, our finances, the incoming special financial advisor to the president, Paul Volcker, Timothy Geithner. I mean, why could this fellow get to be Secretary of the Treasury? He doesn't pay his income tax. Why? He's a member of the Trilateral Commission. He's a member of the Bilderbergers. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He's a member of the Group of 30. He's one of the elite. They don't abide by our laws until people understand that we have a visible government, we have an invisible government, and the invisible government, in my estimation, is energized by the occult. And, of course, Lynn's point is, things are moving so rapidly now as our whole economy is beginning to tank, and certainly we're looking towards almost 550,000 people lost their jobs last month, 533,000 lost their jobs the month before that. I mean, we've lost almost 2 million jobs, not quite, about 1.7 million jobs here, in the last 4 months. I mean, we're going to be moving towards, 10 million unemployed here very, very soon. And the average individual will say, well, that's too bad about those other guys, but they don't understand that they could very well be the next victims of what's coming down the line. And as our whole society begins to implode, our economy begins to implode, the government's doing everything they can not to address the problem. They're trying to pretend they're addressing the problem, but they're not addressing it. Because I don't think they want a solution. I think they want the problem. But you go ahead, Lynn.
And, of course, by doing, what happened to the last $700 billion bailout? Where did that money go? And no one really knows. And Main Street has not received anything from that. It hasn't helped the common man, per se, at least that I'm aware of. And they're printing money out of thin air. It's not backed up by anything. And at some point, the Chinese are going to stop buying futures, as it were, because they're going to realize this whole thing is bankrupt. A friend of mine had a genius idea. If they really wanted to solve the economy, why not just drop everybody's mortgage down to 3% for 5 years? Just drop everything down to 3%. That would stimulate the economy without printing up phony money backed by nothing. It would give Main Street a huge rest. It would bail out many people, and the foreclosures would go way down. But, of course, we don't see that happening. We see them asking for close to $1 trillion. Where is that money going to come from? It's going to come on the backs of the taxpayers again, in the future somehow being paid back with interest as the Chinese or whoever buy these phony junk bonds, because that's what they are. But at some point, the house of cards will collapse. I find it really interesting, and I blogged about this today on my blog, lamarzulli.wordpress.com, but I blog 5 days a week, Dr. Stan, and today was, "This is not my culture. This culture is a culture of death." That was kind of the headline. And it amazes me that one of the first acts that the newly elected Obama does is to make sure we reverse that federally funded abortion money. So now we can make sure that, the people in other countries can abort their babies, too, by taxpayer money. I mean, I just find that so abhorrent. With all that's wrong in this planet, that's what he focuses on. That's what he makes sure he ramrods through quickly, reverse that, so we can kill the unborn. For those of you who are listening, there are 50 million babies that have been killed in this country alone, which, of course, is a holocaust. It's a demonic sacrifice to Moloch. It actually creates a blood curse over America. And at some point, the scales have to tip. There will be judgment.
Well, Chris, I would not disagree with that at all. I mean, when a country turns against God and violates God's laws, whether it be on abortion or homosexuality or immorality of all sorts, why, of course, eventually God turns against that country and allows judgment to come. And I feel that we're going to see the effect of judgment here. As our economy collapses, our people are impoverished, and millions of people lose everything they have from a material point of view. But our hope is, our prayer is, that at that time they're going to begin to listen to what we have to say. And hopefully they'll be looking for the solution. And you're not going to find it in the Republicans or in the Democrats, but in a personal relationship with our Lord. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Lynn Marzulli. We're talking about his new book, which is up on the Internet, which my secretary was kind enough to pull down and print out for me, and we have it nicely bound here. Certainly, if we can... are you offering this at all to people, to pull it down, or how do they do it? Do they have to pay to pull it down? Is it free up on the Internet? What's the situation?
Well, Dr. Stan, what you do is you go to my website, which is lamarzulli.net, lamarzulli, M-A-R-Z as in zebra, U-L-L-I, lamarzulli.net. There's actually a special right now for this week. We're offering Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural and the e-book, both for $10. And the e-book, of course, is a download. It's kind of cutting edge because, you know, we're moving into the, well, we already are into the computer age, obviously, but it's at the point now where many of the newspapers around the country are folding, because many people or people now are beginning to get their news from internet sites and not the traditional hard copy paper newspapers that this country has really run on for decades. So it's changing, and the e-book, of course, is an attempt to be on the cutting edge or the crest of that wave. The ebook has lots of links, so as you're reading about Dr. Jacobs, you can one click, you can be on his site, you can explore his site, you can go to YouTube videos, you can go to related sites on the alien abduction, and each segment, each of those 17 segments, has links and videos, and it's very interactive. So in that respect, it's like a primer, in the sense that if you know nothing about ufology at all and you want to get interested and you want to find out what's kind of come up to speed on it, this is the book for you, because it's a lot of different paradigms, and it really covers everything except for crop circles. But all other aspects of it are covered. If you're seasoned and you've kind of, you know, traveled through it, you'll find it fascinating, because these are people that have had close encounters of a third, fourth, and fifth kind, and, you know, actually face-to-face contact with these entities and come through this. So you'll find it fascinating, because the stories alone are kind of worth the price of admission. Some of the stuff is very riveting.
Well, it is. It's a fascinating subject. A lot of people look at this, and, of course, they're intrigued by it, and they're wondering, you know, these aliens out there, you know, did they actually produce this? Is this where life came from? The aliens came to Earth? And this is all part of the deception. Until people understand, everything is a deception, and Chris has brought out so vividly. One of the things they keep saying is, don't believe in Christianity. It's all a lie. Why would the demons be saying that? We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Lynn Marzulli. We're talking about his e-book. It's up on the Internet. It's called The Aliens, and it's based upon his interviews with people who have actually had alien abductions, conversations with people who experienced the UFO contacts, is the subtitle. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you'd like to give us a call. And once again, Lynn, I'm going to let you give the address, how people can get your material, your website. But again, if you're out there and would like to call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and go right ahead, Lynn.
It's LA Marzulli. LaMarzulli.net, LaMarzulli.net. And that's the whole website. You can go. It links to everything here, Dr. Stan. All the books are there, videos, YouTube stuff. You can also get to my daily blog from the same place. But it's LaMarzulli.net. We've got a special we're running this week, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, plus the Alien Interviews, a new ebook, both for just $10.
All right, fine. Well, that'd be cheap at half the price. Well, anyway, we've got Ray calling on from Santa Cruz, and we'll get to Ray in just a moment. But the book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, is a fascinating book. We enjoyed, talking to Lynn about this on a number of occasions.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, there is a relationship between politics and biblical prophecy and the supernatural, and unless you understand that so much of what is driving what is going on today comes from the supernatural realm, and the planned destruction of our economy that is taking place today has its origin in the supernatural. And there is no better way to destroy a nation than to debauch and destroy the currency. And that is exactly what Mr. Paulson and, of course, Mr. Bernanke, and, of course, what Paul Volcker and Mr. Geithner, and they're the architects of what's going on today. And now they're going to be the new advisors to the President of the United States. Well, let's go to Ray. Hi, Ray. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah. I want to mention Roswell, New Mexico, 1948. Something happened there. And I still don't have the whole story, but I'm kind of putting it together a little bit. I guess there was some debris.
Mm-hmm.
There were aliens, there were alien beings that were apparently appeared. I don't know what happened to them, but the whole story is that the government was well aware of this occurrence. So, do you have anything?
I actually do. I actually interviewed Dr. Jesse Marcel Jr. in the Alien Interviews. Jesse Marcel Senior was the 509 base security chief, and Dr. Marcel Senior was actually in the debris field in 1947, 1948 is when the Roswell crash happened.
Yeah.
But Marcel was there, walked through it, actually picked pieces of it up and put it in a cardboard box and went to his house before he went back to the base. Awakened his son, Jesse Marcel Jr., and showed him the pieces. Guess who comes on the record in the Alien Interviews? Jesse Marcel Jr. comes on. He's kind of brief in his answers, but the story is just incredible. He handled the debris. He looked at it. He actually saw some hieroglyphic typewriting on one of the I-beams. He looked at the memory metal, and I asked him, what happened after your father came back? And he said, basically, my father came in about a week later. He was gone for a week, and he came back, and he told us, remember that stuff I brought home that night? You're never to talk about it to anybody. It never happened. We're never going to talk about it again. And that's how it was basically for decades till he became ill, and at that point in time, he began to do some interviews, and then Dr. Stanton Friedman got a hold of him, and then, the rest is sort of history. Roswell was covered up. When you've got someone like Edgar Mitchell, who came on the record at Kerrang Radio over last summer, basically point blank coming out on the radio and saying, look, Roswell was covered up by the United States government. Now, was he given a signal to go ahead and do that for full disclosure? I don't know, but I find it very strange that 2008 there were lots of people sort of coming out. The UK revealed classified documents, and they actually dug up the pilot who flew the sortie against the UFO, which he described was larger than an aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
And as he was about to fire at this thing, it flew away at 10,000 miles an hour. So the alien bodies were probably, according to Dr. Jesse Marcel Jr., he believed that there were that the craft that crashed at Roswell probably were crewed. That's what he believes. He doesn't know anything about the bodies, but other witnesses have come forward. They're saying as many as six maybe have been retrieved. A story goes, and this is all apocryphal stuff.
Yeah.
Can't prove it, but one of the aliens may have been actually alive and communicated with someone telepathically and created some sort of a bond with them, which is, and again, I'm jumping around a little bit.
Yeah, right.
But when you go to Steven Spielberg's The Roots of Ufology, which is a 20-hour miniseries called Taken, that's precisely what they show in that movie.
Right.
Now, is that you know, art imitating life, life imitating art? Who knows? But I find it very interesting because that's what happens. The entity that is alive actually begins to have a relationship with one of the people there. That's what I know about it.
I think the important thing is the fact that they've done an excellent job of confusing the issue, first of all, by the denying of this and, of course, denying of it, and then, of course, leaking out that they're really aliens. They're really coming from another planet. And, of course, by denying this, of course, they intrigue people, and then, of course, we learn about Majestic or Magic 12, you know, and this special division that's investigating this and handling it. But the whole thing points to the other planets. It's coming from the space, and the space aliens coming down here. Maybe this is where life began. Maybe they created us. And, of course, this is all to take you away from the realization there is a supernatural element out there, because that supernatural element is well known to people at the highest levels of our government. I believe some of them are in contact with it. And certainly we know that the military has been carrying on all sorts of experiments with the supernatural. I've actually held in my hand a spoon that was bent into two circles, you know, by a major general who was had been part of the government program that's described in a book we're going to be featuring soon called The Men Who Look at Goats. And he was one of those people, as a major general working within the military, tapping into the supernatural force, which he did, and he actually has that supernatural power. It's not something that you and I want to have.
Once you have it, you're doomed, I think, because... You know, they'll destroy you eventually.
You're absolutely right. The thing is, if you have it, you want to renounce it. And, we're going to have, the next Monday, we're going to have Joanna Michelson back on here. Joanna was a medium, and she'll be telling us about her experiences. And, of course, not only that, but what is going on today from a supernatural point of view. And believe me, what is taking place in Washington has strong supernatural implications. If you read Obama's speech, on two occasions he referred to the New Age.
The New Age,
and then another one to the New Era. What's he talking about? Why is he using these key phrases would be known to people in the occult? Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Go right ahead, Ray.
I'll let somebody else talk, but I wanted to mention one other thing. The Scientologists seem to be plugged into some odd force. I don't know. It's demonic. I believe it is.
I believe it is, too, and that's because L. Ron Hubbard, he made this up, and Hubbard was deeply involved in the occult. And was, as I remember, he was working with Aleister Crowley, not with Crowley, but with Antoine LaVey.
Oh, my goodness.
And they also had contacts with UFOs.
Right. Anything else you want to talk about, Ray, or we let you go?
Well, it's all pretty mind-boggling to hear about the different... I hadn't known about that. But anyway, I'll let somebody else get on with you.
All right, fine.
Thanks for the call.
But the important thing, Ray, is to keep your focus on our Lord. And, of course, this is the only thing that's going to see us through. If you have a personal relationship with our Lord, why, you have nothing to fear. Terrible things may happen. But, of course, he'll sustain us during those times.
Yeah, the nice thing about it is that when you do, then the thing, it grows. The relationship grows as your involvement, you know, gets... more and more, and your wisdom actually increases, and that's important, you know, because in these days you need that kind of wisdom to kind of sort out the evils that are really confronting us and that we're not really sure of.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Ray.
Thank you.
And again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295, if you have a question. Our guest is Lynn Marzulli, and of course, his book is The Alien Interventions. Alien Intervention, and of course his discussions with people, 17 people, and he just gives you the text of the interviews with these people who have actually had these supernatural experiences. So it's a fascinating insight into what's going on. What was your, Chris, you don't really so much tell your view, you'd get what these people say. And some of these are really quite accomplished scientists, aren't they?
Well, certainly. If you look at, let's say, Dr. Lynn Cattai, she's been involved in all sorts of wonderful things in the medical field. Her resume is very extensive. But she was one of those people that, living in the Phoenix area in 1997, photographed not only with a movie camera but also with 35-millimeter film the Phoenix lights. In fact, her film was being shown anonymously. She submitted it at first anonymously to local television stations, and then later on it was picked up. It's all over YouTube, and it's just everywhere now. And, of course, she did a documentary called The Phoenix Lights, and she comes on the record with great erudition and really just gives a very detailed description of what this thing was. And, of course, she's interviewed lots and lots of witnesses that saw this phenomena also. The idea that somehow, and people always bring this up, well, it must have been flares, and this thing disappears over the mountain, and they're always going back to the Army and flares and the Air Force and flares and flares and more flares. And the problem with that is it just doesn't fit the phenomena. This thing traveled at a very low rate of speed from one corner of the state to the other. It went on for hours. Thousands of people saw it. So it's not Project Blue Beam or Project Blue Beam, where this thing is, some sort of a holographic image is projected in one area. It's certainly not military flares. The eyewitnesses who saw it, and I put one of these, being a researcher, you talk to one person and you find a link to another person. One of the witnesses in Dr. Cattai's interview described when this huge boomerang-shaped craft flew over. I mean, the thing was huge. It was silent. It flew over very slowly. She described a shimmering underneath the craft, a shimmering, like almost like a mirage, a shimmering. Well, guess what? Ricky Soro at Stevensville, Texas, when the craft flew directly over him, describes the same shimmering type effect. It's kind of interesting. A decade apart, basically 11 years apart, in different parts of the continental United States, and yet they're describing a very similar phenomena. Huge ship, some sort of an undulation in the air underneath the ship. So I found that fascinating. But, Dr. Cattai finally comes on the record. We discuss the former Governor Fife Symington's flip-flop a decade later again on the Larry King show, where Fife Symington comes clean and says, look, I was in Phoenix. I saw this thing. It was a craft. It wasn't built here. It was from some unknown origin. So he's publicly stated that that, in his opinion, it was an extraterrestrial craft, a UFO. The thing is, Dr. Stam, this is what, certainly not so much in this book, but in Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, I really tie it into the whole idea of the coming great deception and the Luciferian endgame. When we go into scriptures like Revelation and we realize that there's going to be a one-world government and a one-world religious system, the latter begs the question, how the heck do you get 1.4 billion Muslims and 2 billion Christians to somehow, change their worldview? And in my opinion, when these crafts appear, when they reveal themselves, and I believe it's going to happen more than likely after a nuclear exchange in the Middle East, that nuclear exchange in the Middle East will set up the greatest climate of fear mankind has ever known. And the Luciferians move in fear. Fear is the currency of the Luciferians. And when that thing finally goes off in the Middle East, the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38, 39 prophecy, Isaiah 17, those prophecies are finally fulfilled, that'll create this climate of fear, and I truly believe that's when they'll manifest. That's when they'll show, here we are with our three-mile craft. We've come back to usher you guys into a new age, a new world order. We'll show you who God really is. We started all the world's religions, and this, because otherwise it makes no sense. You're not going to get 2 billion Christians to change their worldview, to change their religion. You're not going to get 1.4 billion. Remember, Jesus himself says even the elect would be deceived if that were possible. So what is coming has to be so overwhelming and so, disguised as and so deceptive that it's going to deceive the elect if that were possible.
Well, I fear that it really is possible. I think that we are in for some terrible, terrible times in the days and weeks and months and years that lie ahead. And, of course, if you read the writings of the Share International or the Emergence, these are two publications put out by Benjamin Krem, and he will tell you that they are anticipating the appearance of the Maitreya very, very soon. In fact, it was so interesting that even the Wall Street Journal, I believe it was on December 12th, actually, and they came out with an article on their Money Watch page of the Wall Street Journal talking about how Maitreya was coming soon. Why would the Wall Street Journal put out something like that? And yet they did. And, certainly there are people obviously working within that newspaper who are privy to information, the secret information, the esoteric information that is out there, suggesting that momentous spiritual things are about to occur.
And, you know, Dr. Stan, the apocryphal story with Benjamin Krem is he was first contacted, as the story goes, and this, again, this is just what I've read. Who knows whether it's true or not, but apparently he was picked up in a limousine, and in the back of a limousine was what we would call a gray alien. And that's where this creature began to tell him about Maitreya and what was going to happen and how they were going to make all this work. And of course in 1982, Share International released those full page ads in the LA Times, New York Times, London Times, and a paper in Europe saying that the Christ is now here, the fifth Buddha, the Imam Mahdi, the Messiah of the Jews, the long-awaited Messiah of the Jews, in the person of Maitreya. And I've been following this guy since 1982, and you know, every now and then you get a little blip, but you're right, that story in the Wall Street Journal and other places, it seems like all of a sudden, you know, Maitreya is maybe back on the scene, who knows. So what do they know that we don't know, and why in the Wall Street Journal of all places
hold that thought.
A story like that?
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt, that nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors, forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us That's toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Used for carbon dating from an area that where it had been patched in the 15th century. And of course, that then would show a much later date. So understand that this is almost a supernatural thing because nobody knows how that form was made. And it, certainly, it's been around for a thousand years, or perhaps I believe personally that it is exactly what it's purported to be, 2,000 years old and representing something to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, that's another story for another evening, Lynn. Marzulli, give your website one more time, and then we'll let you go.
Thanks so much, Dr. Stan. Again, thanks for having me on, and thank you for all your faithful listeners. But it's lamarzulli.net, www.lamarzulli.net.
And Lynn has some great material. God bless, and thanks so much.
God bless you, Dr. Stan.
Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We're dependent upon you to help us. If you believe in our message, if you believe, as I do, that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought in a political, economic, financial, cultural battlefield, why, Chris, give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. 4-4-8-9-2-7. And then, of course, if you would like to read our newsletters, our November newsletters up on the net, I'll have to check and see if the December newsletter up. And of course, you want to get this whole series of newsletters so you can explain to people exactly how they have created this financial collapse that is going to lead to chaos in America. And just as the country of Mexico is collapsing today, so it should not be too far, too long before we begin to see that spilling over into our country, people fleeing from Mexico because of the chaos that's growing there. But this is happening all throughout the world, and this is exactly what they're doing. They've collapsed the economy of the entire world, and they could have solved this if they wanted to, but they don't want a solution. They want to give you the impression that they're trying to solve it, but they're not. So certainly, you really need to get our book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get our talk on the forbidden secret with the syllabus, on the planned police state with the syllabus, on concentration camps, a four-tape set, a video. It's called America Behind Barbed Wire. We have a concentration camp special. You need to get this information, and then you need to help us get it out across America because people find these things so difficult to believe. And then, of course, if you'd like to get our newsletters, if you don't have access to a computer, you can call us. We'll be glad to send you at least one of the newsletters. But we do hope many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family. And, of course, you can go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. If you haven't laid in a supply of emergency food, don't put it off. We carry the ready reserve food. We'd be glad to send you the catalog and hope that you'll order it through us. It's the same cost as getting it directly from them. And then, of course, we hope that you'll get yourself the Berkey water filters and lay in a supply of medical supplies, the health supplies to keep your immune system up. And then, of course, the seeds, garden in a can. We'll be, of course, carrying the advertisements for that here starting the first of next month. Harvey Eason, who runs the company, is kind enough to come on and support the Radio Liberty, helping us with garden in a can, something hermetically sealed, the seeds that should last a good long while if you keep them in their packages and in the number 10 tin can. And you need to have all sorts of things on hand to see you through the difficult times that lie ahead. We don't know what's going to happen. We do know that everything has changed. And the world that we grew up in, the world that we have enjoyed so much, the utopian existence we've had, is coming to an end because there are powerful forces intent upon the destruction of our economic system. Now, Sydney, once you get this thing started, you can't turn it back. I mean, once it starts, why, of course, it simply destroys itself. As the whole financial system is destroyed, along with our value of our currency.